One of the things we committed to when we started this show was try to get y'all more familiar with your local officials as well as department heads and departments that serve you. And today we have the honor of having our road foreman here, and it's Gary West. We'll let him introduce himself and tell you a little bit about how long he's been with us and how he served in that capacity, you know, during those years. Go ahead, Gary.
My name's Gary West. I've been with the county for 27 years. I started in May of 1990 working at the transfer station. Worked there a year and was transferred to the road department where I drove dump truck, run grader, just loader, whatever, you know, the daily task needed to be done. That's what I done. And then a couple years ago, Charles Brooks retired. I was promoted to the road supervisor and been serving in that capacity. Just doing daily chores and trying to meet the taxpayers' needs.
Kind of, he talked about it there in previous shows, talked about how blessed we was with the employees. You know, when we came into office, we had in a lot of areas, and the road department is definitely one. I've been very fortunate. We always had good staff there. And like he mentioned, Charles Brooks served, I think, close to
about 35 years.
I go say way up into 30 years was excellent. And then we had the experience. And so we didn't have the big drop off like you see a lot of times. So very fortunate to have Gary that was able to step up. And we've continued on with a lot of the things we started then. And all of our staff were very fortunate. It's amazing, especially from what the pay rate used to be, to see the skill set of workers we have there, the capabilities. Gary, I guess kind of just getting people a little bit acclimated with, you know, they may hear road department, and I guess we should differentiate. This is the county road department. Kind of, I know this, but for the sake of the public, what exactly are you tasked with on a daily basis? What exactly is in your,
you know? Well, most of the time, you know, we make sure that all the ditches are clean on the roads where the water can flow correctly, and open tiles and patch holes, you know, stuff like the gray gravel roads, spread rock on them. Just like today, they're shouldering woody wire road, putting a shoulder on it where it got blacktopped. Install tile, and a lot of times we'll get emergency calls. You know, we have got to give them top priority, and we get emergency calls like trees down or stuff of that nature.
Like I said, you've got the general maintenance, and like I said, naturally with weather events, things, your job can change on a daily basis. I guess on a daily basis, what some kind of calls you typically get from the public? And I guess in talking about that, too, you know, if somebody has a complaint, naturally myself or the magistrates are happy, but how best for them to relay that message or get the information to you should they see a problem they need to address?
Well, look, you know, they can either call the county judge's office or their master, but if they won't, they can call directly to me at the county garage, 663-6450. We get a lot of calls on, you know, like I said, trees down or stopped up tile, but just in general, they'll call about a road being, you know, rough or tore up and stuff like that.
I guess one thing I know we've talked about quite a bit, one thing that can be a little frustrating, I'm sure for yourself, is we always want to be able to help the public and try our best to do so in a good way. But yes, some people have a little misunderstanding, and when somebody has a problem that's not on our right of way or that we're unable to. So might talk a little bit about, you know, what parameters are that you can or able to help people and help clear up some of the calls, I guess.
You know, some situations, like we've had trees that aren't exactly on the right of way, but there'll be a danger to the road or the traffic or whatever, and need to come down and stuff like that. We'll go take the tree down. A lot of times we can get with the electric company if it's close to a power line, and they'll take the tree down for us, and we haul off the rubbish. And we've had instances where, you know, maybe a creek was stopped up from a landslide or something like that. If it's going to cause a hazard of some kind, you know, we can try to help them out. Situations like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, if it's going to impact a county structure, yes, such as a bridge or a road,
right,
then we have
a lot of times you'll have a driveway that water be running down the driveway and covering our road, washing mud and debris out in the road, and we'll have to go cut a ditch at the edge of the driveway, you know, to take care of that water. We can do stuff like that.
And you've mentioned culverts and things, and naturally with our terrain, drainage structures are a very big part of our transportation system. I think since I've been here, we've done like 15 plus bridges. And so that's something we're still at the state, still got the 80-20 bridge program. We're actively, we've still got three more to do this year. And that's something I saw in our road systems much improved. We're about to get rid of a lot of the old, I guess, oil tanks that we had serving as culverts. And so our drainage structures have very much improved. And that's something beyond just your daily routine when you have those projects that y'all have to work to help.
Yeah, it's improved enormously in that because used to when we'd get heavy rain, them tile would overflow and wash our roads out, and where we put the bridges, that's not a problem anymore at all.
Yeah, so that's something just kind of in talking about drainage structures I've witnessed really improve. Like I said, it's added to the public safety. I've been out with you on, like you said, some of these flash flood events where the culvert would wash hundreds of feet down the stream. Yes. You'd have people stranded, and it created a real safety sensitive issue. So that's been a big benefit. And I guess I know another thing that's improved and you've been a big part of, we've tried to be, I guess, more conscientious of our cutting back our right of ways and things. And, you know, we've mentioned, I think, in an earlier episode with one of the magistrates, but I think when I first got to office, it seemed like it was a real struggle. It seemed like to get to two times a year. Now we're trying to get to four or five, depending on the growing season. And I guess you might want to talk a little bit about the equipment. And some people don't understand, I guess, the boom mower, what the reason for cutting back the trees and things, and might just speak a little bit to why that's done, even though it doesn't always look the best when it's freshly done, the importance of having that done and what it means to the infrastructure.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know we've had some calls before about how the brush looks after we cut with the boom mower, but you got to understand that when you cut the brush back, it lets the sunlight get to the road. It'll help a lot in the wintertime. If you've got snow on the road and you plow in salt, sun don't hit it, it's not going to melt. Plus, when your school buses run that road, you ain't got limbs slapping the side of the bus, and it helps the ditches. It just helps all around. And we have had a lot of comments, good comments, about where we've cut the roads back. And
Gary, we're kind of trying to, you know, let people know exactly what all constitutes your all's work on a kind of an annual basis. Might be one of the easiest ways might be kind of just talk. It's kind of a lot of it. Your regular stuff is kind of seasonal to some degree, and just kind of start, I guess, from this point forward, kind of how your year will play out. I know this time, like I said, getting into this time of year, we'll start naturally our maintenance as far as mowing and things, and then you got Memorial Day. So what's that mean to the road department, or how's your activities revolve around that?
Well, that's just like now. We're fixing to start the transition of we got to get started on our cemetery roads, get them ready for Memorial Day, and we got to get our bush hogs and tractors ready to start mowing the roads. Like I said, we always focus on getting all them mowed before Memorial Day, where they'll look good, and then we move on through the summer of just we'll probably, like you said, we'll probably mow four, maybe even five times. Just depends on, you know, how the grass grows and that. And then, you know, other times we're like, you know, Greg, we work on our gravel roads, keep them maintained, and just maintenance on all of our equipment. That's very important. Try to keep it, because we've got nice equipment and we want to make sure and take care of it.
I guess a lot of times in the summer, you see a lot of your ditching and that kind of activity as well. And it kind of goes in. Typically, that's the time of year when our blacktop allotments or our resurfacing comes out. And might kind of talk to, I mean, beyond the obvious of trying to keep a water drain and the importance of that to the road structure, and why, you know, if you see prior to a road being paved, why we make a concerted effort to have that water shed, I guess.
Yeah, because if you don't, especially, we always try to ditch it. If we know a road's going to be blacktop, we'll always ditch it before they lay fresh blacktop, because if you don't keep your ditches draining, if they stand in water there, it starts a soft spot in your road, and then more traffic runs across it. It'll just keep getting softer and softer, and before you know it, your roads tore all to pieces. So when we put down new blacktop, we want to make sure our roads are ditched and our tiles are all open.
I get a lot of questions, I know you hear it a lot. Why didn't my road get paved and this one get paved, this, that, and other? Might just talk a little bit, I guess, you know, to the average public, they may not travel all the miles of county roads that you're responsible for maintaining. So therefore, they may not, even though there's may have an issue, don't realize that there's others that may be in worse shape. Just talk a little bit about what goes in. I mean, naturally, the magistrates have some discretion on what's the greatest need in their district, as well as, you know, been in my office, we get pretty aware of which roads are worse. But naturally, you and your road crew been out on them, working on them, have very much say so when you consult with myself or the magistrates on which ones you think need paved. Just talk a little bit about the process of kind of identifying which roads and are in the worst shape, and kind of what goes into deciding potentially where pavement gets put.
Well, that's like you said, we just, you know, you got roads that you try to prioritize and pick out the ones that's very extremely bad, you know, and we try to use coal mix as much as possible. But when you get, you know, you get to happen to use tons and tons of coal mix on one certain road, it ain't cheap. And you get into the point to where it's just as cheap to go ahead and blacktop the road to where you know, we ain't having to spend so much time. But we try to do the worst roads is how we try to do.
And I know we've talked, you know, we hope to get even though that's done, we've talked about far as kind of more of the state model, as actually scoring them. So you can actually show people. So hopefully that's something, you know, we are currently working on and we'll have going forward. So it makes a little bit more sense and people have a little bit better idea what the time frame is on and those improvements. I know one other thing in talking about paving, I think somewhere since I've been here, somewhere around 3 to 5 miles additional that used to be is paved that used to be gravel road.
Yeah.
You spoke a little bit to it there, but kind of we've looked at, I guess, population on those roads or amount of traffic and why we chose to do those.
I've been here 27 years. And when I first started the gravel roads, we had so many gravel roads that the grader was out just about every day grading roads, hauling rock. And it saves you quite a bit of money if you can go ahead and blacktop a gravel road, you know, to where you're not grading it and rocking it every 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. But the gravel roads that's most heavily traveled is the ones we always focus on to blacktop.
You hit on a couple of good points there, and I think it would be my desire, as probably well as yours, and naturally the citizens, to have any road we had paved. And I guess to speak a little bit as to why that's not possible, at least in the short run, you hit on it a lot there, you know. A lot of things has changed in that time frame. Like you said, back in the day, probably when you originally talked about, gravel was probably $2 to $3 a ton. Now you're talking 10 to 15, depending on the material. At the same time, blacktops went up, but also a lot of our funding models or where we get money for has
it's resurface only blacktop. Yeah. And people, you know, that's something a lot of people don't understand. They'll say, why did this road get blacktopped? It's already blacktop. We've been living on gravel. But what the state allocates blacktop, but it's for resurface only, and that's the only place you're allowed to use it. So that's how we have to prioritize.
Yeah, you hit on a good point there too, and kind of clarity. You said naturally we're typically trying to do more with less, but like you said, I think that's another thing that people might not have a full understanding on is a lot of the road monies are restricted. Like you said, there's a good portion of the money we have to do asphalt with that is it has to be a resurfaced application. Right. So therefore, you know, the actual money we have free to do new roads or something is a lot more limited. And I think that kind of lends into, you know, naturally you might see a department such as an ambulance wondering why maybe the road department's getting new equipment or new things and the ambulance isn't. A good portion of the money that's dedicated to the road department is restricted funds and can only be used for that. And so therefore, you know, just because maybe you see a new tractor sitting at the road department, it's not like we could have taken that money and bought a new ambulance or a new police cruiser. You know, we know those departments have needs, to use it. And that's one reason I think something that people should be aware of, just because doesn't mean we view one of those other departments as less or in less need. It's just that
I personally had questions from people, you know, thinking, talking about budgets. And I thought they was having trouble with the budget and y'all are getting new equipment apart the road department. But just like you said, the road department is a totally different fund and we'll have money and other departments may not. So, and you can't use that money nowhere else.
I guess, Gary, that's nice. We've touched on several things and we could get more in depth, but I think that starts to give the public a little bit better idea of kind of what y'all do on a daily basis and at least a point if they have a question that they'll start to think about it. And actually, we'd be happy to try to further expand on it. But I'd like to thank you for being here today. And we'll come back, I think, do another episode kind of talking on some of the changes you've witnessed during your time and things you still have goals of accomplishing, you know, with our road department. So we'll see you again tomorrow.
Thank you.